What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening. Hey, it's great to talk to you. I haven't been in a while because of, what's that thing that they play here at night when during this? Oh, yeah, baseball. That's it. So because of baseball, I haven't been in a while, but it's great to be with you this evening here on KMOX. Welcome to At Your Service. And I also want to say hello to Matt Pajeski. It's good to see you, sir.
Good to see you too, Brad.
Haven't seen you in a while. And today is National Flip-Flop Day. Now, are you a fan of flip-flops?
You know, not really. I mean, they fall off. They're not comfortable.
Yes.
I'm not much of a flip-flop guy.
What? Wow. You know, I never prepare stuff because I always want Matt's raw, unfiltered opinions on things. But I hate flip-flops. In fact, I think flip-flops should be banned by the Geneva Convention as cruel and unusual punishment.
The only thing I hate more than wearing flip-flops, I think, are seeing other people in flip-flops. I don't want to... Not everybody's got the feet for flip-flops.
That's true.
And I don't want to see everybody's bare feet like
that. Or the
that.
Scent.
Or the... Yeah.
Okay. But the other thing is, not only are flip-flops annoying to wear, because when I'm wearing them, I'm always trying to keep my toes together so I don't lose the... And it's not comfortable. I can't walk. I feel like a penguin when I'm walking because I'm like, oh my goodness, these things are going to fall off my feet. When I'm out in the sun, my feet get sunburned wearing flip-flops.
You get the flip-flop tan line.
Exactly. I mean, who wants to see that? Plus, even when other people around you are wearing flip-flops, it's clippity-clop. It sounds like I'm marching in a parade with Clydesdales.
It does.
I mean, I keep looking to make sure I don't, you know, step in something. Like I'm walking behind Clydesdales. So they're not only annoying to you when you wear them, they're annoying to you when other people wear them. Obviously, I'm not going to get any endorsements from the National Flip-Flop Association. But I don't understand the attraction. No. I really don't. I can't take calls on this, but I would certainly love someone to text in and tell me why flip-flops are even a thing. I mean, I think they should be banned. It's cruel and unusual punishment, and not even prisoners should be forced to wear flip-flops. Not that I have an opinion on this, but 314-436-7900 would love to hear your text on that. Also, today is National Autonomous Vehicle Day. And Matt, are you comfortable? Would you be comfortable riding in an autonomous, self-driving vehicle where you're not in control of the car?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Nope.
Again, neither would I.
You know, I struggle with technology that we already have. I struggle with the phone in my pocket, the computer I used to work with. Like, I have... trouble. I have glitches with everything that
all
I currently
use. All the time.
I'm not sure this is ready yet. I mean, at some point it has to be ready, but I don't know if it's ready yet. I'm not ready to be one of the first people to jump in.
Just because it's possible doesn't mean that it's advisable.
Yeah.
Okay? What's the line from Jurassic Park where Jeff Goldblum says, we spent so much time figuring out if we could that we didn't stop to figure out if we should.
Yeah.
And to me, that's autonomous vehicles. And I've been talking about autonomously driven vehicles from a legal perspective for years. I mean, like 10, 12 years I've been talking about this. I don't understand how the legalities of these things are going to get worked out as an attorney, because if a self-driving car crashes into a different self-driving car, who's at fault? You can't sue. You could sue the manufacturer. But if it's an accident, was it a glitch? Was it negligence? Can a car be negligent? Can a computer be negligent? I don't know. We don't know the answers to any of these questions. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of autonomous self-driving vehicles, but today's the day for it. So, listen, if you're cruising down the interstate and you're in your Tesla, just turn on the automatic autonomous driving feature and just wait for it to have a glitch. Because Matt, you make a good point. How many times during our day, especially today in our technology-driven society, how many times a day are we faced with technology that does not work?
Countless.
Countless. Internet connections don't get made. Computers need to be rebooted. Your phone, the RAM is filled because you got too many apps that are open. And so you can't access a website. You can't download your email.
Yeah.
You can't text someone. So who thinks that that technology is okay when you're going down the road at 70 miles an hour with nothing but something built by Intel that's driving it? No. This is a bad idea. We did have a texter that said one word will make you a flip-flop fan, and there's words here that I don't even know what they mean. So it doesn't make me a flip-flop fan if I'm not sure what you're saying. So sorry about that, but I'm not a fan of flip-flops either. But before we go to the break, I do need to mention, and we're going to talk about this probably in the third segment, but again, I'm a little older than you, Matt, but one of my cinematic heroes is Clint Eastwood, and today is Clint Eastwood's 93rd birthday. And you know what's amazing is the dude's 93, he could still kick butt. I mean, if you were in a fight with Clint Eastwood today, my money would be on Clint Eastwood. I don't care who it is. My money would be on Clint Eastwood, unless it's, you know, like somebody from a Marvel movie. But other than that, Clint Eastwood's the guy. And if you've ever watched The Mandalorian, if anyone's ever watched The Mandalorian, basically you're watching a Clint Eastwood movie in space. That's really all it is. The entire show, the style, the pacing, the music, the attitude, the scenes, the circumstances, it's all Clint Eastwood movies, except they just put a helmet on the guy. So all of that we're going to get into probably in the third segment this evening here on Camo X. We're going to take a break right now, but coming up after the break, what's better than Ted Drews on a hot summer evening? Well, the only thing I can think of is more Ted Drews. So we're going to talk to Travis Dillon. He's the co-owner of Ted Drews, about their new location next here on The Voice of St. Louis, Camo X.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening. And I want you to think about these ideas. Peanut butter and jelly. Cookies and milk. Summer and Ted Drews. All things that go great together. But, you know, there's more than concretes going on at Ted Drews these days. And joining us to discuss what's new at Ted Drews is Travis Dillon, co-owner of Ted Drews. Hey, Travis. Welcome back to Camo X.
Well, it's good to hear from you. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing great, sir. It's great to talk to you. And my wife and I were at your establishment not too long ago. And what we didn't know when we were there is that you've been planning some things. What's new?
Well, the newest thing we have is something that coordinates with the soccer team. It's called the City Red. You know, that's got cherries and to Dad's Cookie, which is from here in St. Louis, and is just absolutely delicious. It's got coconut added, too. And boy, has it caught on. People really enjoy it.
Good. Well, I want to talk about some of those treats, but what I'd like to talk about is you've got a new location, don't you?
Yeah, it seems new. We sure missed being there. It's at the Grand Boulevard store. It's a store that we've had since 1931. We last had it open in 2021, which was only about 8 weeks, and we stayed open as long as we could. But boy, are we happy to be open again. It's great to see the neighborhood people walking around, that corner lit up, and our machines are running, the freezers are on, and I guess we're all so happy. Christy and I are just can't believe how long it's been.
Well, and you told me there a moment ago that location opened up. When was the first time the Grand location had opened up?
1931.
And, I didn't go there then. I want to apologize. I wasn't going there in the 30s or the 40s, for that matter.
Right. But, you know, that store has a lot of history. And, you know, the Chippewa store as well, that was built just 10 years later in 1941.
Interesting. I did not realize that the Chippewa location was, in fact, newer than the Grand location. I did not know that.
Well, they're both really good stores. They're built well. And when Ted built those stores, his whole plan, and he was really sharp at this, to make sure you had a large enough parking lot, and build a small store, but make sure your lot is big enough. And he did that. It was amazing, the thought process.
That's planning ahead. You're planning on people loving you. And my goodness, people love Ted Drews. We're talking to Travis Dillon. He's the co-owner of Ted Drews. And you get telling us about the reopening of the South Grand facility. Now, is that same frozen deliciousness at the South Grand location that we like to get at the Chippewa location?
Oh, absolutely. The machines at the Grand store are identical to the ones, first of all, at Chippewa. The mix is the same mix. It comes from the same dairy. The recipe is the same with the cream, the milk, the honey, and eggs and sugar. It's all the same, and it's fun. You know, just standing there at the custard stand at Grand, it's more of a neighborhood location. And we have so many people coming to me and just thanking me for just being there. And they're happy.
You know, at my law firm, nobody ever comes to me and says, Brad, thank you for practicing law. We appreciate you being an attorney. You know, nobody ever says that. When I'm on an airplane, nobody ever comes in and says, oh, my goodness, is there a lawyer on the plane? No, nobody ever says that once. But yet people come up to you and thank you for being there. That's neighborhood appreciation.
It certainly is. It warms my heart. I spent my first 12 years working for Ted at the Grand store, and I love it. It's just a great neighborhood. The people have been just heartwarming to all of us.
Well, why don't you take a couple of steps one direction or the other, Travis, so we can hear you better. And I'm sure that no one could ever, let's see if that's any better, but I'm sure that no one could ever really calculate the amount of frozen custard that you and Ted have sold over the years. But here's my question. What's the most popular flavor? I mean, you've got all of these flavors, all of these varieties. What's the most popular?
Well, it's vanilla, obviously. And the most popular sundae has been the same for all of these years. Our hot fudge that has a delicious flavor with pecans is the most popular sundae that is ordered.
Isn't that interesting?
It still remains that today.
The classics are the best.
That's correct. The frozen custard in a concrete, which, by the way, a concrete is our extra thick malt or shake that we can turn upside down. And that we've had that since 1959. The most popular flavor of that is chocolate. And then chocolate chip follows that. So it's really great that those remain the most popular ones.
Well, my two favorites, Travis, are cookies and cream and the lemon crumb. Now, That lemon crumb, I had it for the first time earlier this year. Oh my goodness. That's might be my new favorite. But you also have some celebrity flavors of custard. Like I remember seeing the Dottie. So first of all,
yes.
The Dottie, named after Ted's wife, right?
That's correct, yes. Uh-huh.
And what is a Dottie?
A Dottie is our light chocolate that we've had since day one. It's a special blend of chocolate that we do in-house with mint and macadamia nuts. And that is so popular still today, even at the custard stand today. I bet we must have had 40 or 50 of them ordered today. It's amazing.
That's great. And I know that this would also be my favorite, the Christie. Now, whom might that be named after?
Well, that is my wonderful wife, Christie. It is the best and really very popular concrete. It's got brownie with caramel and the delicious hot fudge. And it's so rich, but it is just delicious.
We're talking to Travis Dillon. He's the co-owner of Ted Drew's. And I looked up your reviews today on TripAdvisor. And it was interesting because there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It wasn't quite up to 1,000 just on TripAdvisor, but it was 5 stars. I mean, it was the average was 5. And as I'm going through all of the reviews on TripAdvisor, everything, 5 star, 5 star, 5 star. So what's the secret of Ted Drew's that makes it truly a landmark here in St. Louis?
Well, first of all, it's a wonderful honor to have people like us that much. But, you know, Ted started it, of course, in 1929. And I think it's several things that probably is the reason. It's the good quality that Ted always insisted that we keep. The vanilla is real vanilla. The honey is taken from the Midwest here. The fast service, the just caring about details.
Mm-hmm.
Ted's always mentioned to me that if you're going to have a place, make sure you pay attention to the details. Make sure you wait on everyone as quickly as you can, but because no one wants to wait that long.
No.
And of course, we have a wait, but we are so blessed to have people who are okay with waiting a little bit for us, but we certainly are trying.
But you say waiting a little bit, but there's crowds there, and you're like the McDonald's of concretes that or the Disney World of concretes because you move people through there so quickly. I've been in line before, and I was like 7 or 8 people back, and then I blinked, and I'm at the front counter. I mean, you've got an efficient operation going there.
Well, that's certainly nice of you to say. Those are kind words. We've had our problems. You know, we are short-staffed, and we're certainly working hard at improving that. But a lot of people, I guess if you look inside the store, and Christy and I have stood outside watching everyone inside, and all of those yellow shirts, it looks like a bunch of bees running around. And I'm so pleased to see them working quickly rather than slowly. And that's really what Ted has taught us to do all these years, Ted and Dottie. It is their,
yep,
their dream, Ted's dream. And of course, it's Ted Senior who started the business back then. So.
It is. It's great. We've been talking to Travis Dillon. He's the co-owner of Ted Drew's. And Travis, I'm going to be checking out the reopened South Grand location. I haven't been there. I've always gone to Chippewa, but I'm going to be checking out that South Grand location, and other folks can too. And thanks for joining us this evening here on KMOX.
That's great. Thanks a lot. Good talking to you.
It's great talking to you too, Travis. And we're going to open up the phone lines about a couple of things. First of all, if I say what's your favorite memory from Ted Drew's, you're going to have some. But tell me your favorite flavor. Would love to hear what you like at Ted Drew's. But also, when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking some Clint Eastwood because, as I mentioned, it's Clint Eastwood's 93rd birthday today, and I'd like to hear from you. Favorite Clint Eastwood movie, favorite line from a Clint Eastwood movie, and your favorite Ted Drews. Hey, it's all about you this evening here on At Your Service. KMOX, we'll be right back. I almost don't want to start talking because this music is so iconic. Welcome back to Camo X. Brad Young in with you this evening. At your service, as always. And I'm going to go to the phone lines here. Kevin wants to talk Ted Drews. Hey, Kevin, how are you this evening?
Yeah, I'm doing great. And this is a memory about Ted Drews himself and not the product. And I was,
okay.
It's been a few years. Been a few years ago, I was a Cardinal baseball game, and I was blessed to get one of the green seats, you know, the special mm-hmm. seats behind home plate.
Sure.
And I'm trying to impress a couple of buddies that are with me, and I'm saying, hey, look over here. There's Tony La Russa, the manager. Oh, look over here. Luke Brock is here, you know, visiting, you know, his home team. And all of a sudden, I said, oh, look down here. It's Ted Drews. The guys with me went nuts. Because they didn't care about Lou Brock or Tony La Russa. Ted Drews.
Ted Drews. So in that company, Ted Drews was the real celebrity.
He was, and so we went down and we got a picture with him, and we took a little video. And he said on the video, "Cardinal baseball, it's really great, guys and gals."
That's fantastic, Kevin. And you know what? That sounds just like Ted. I mean that. That's the way he comes across on his commercials. That's the way he's always been if you've ever seen him at Ted Drews. And that's the way he was with you at a Cardinals baseball game.
He was so accommodating, and it wasn't about Ted Drews frozen yogurt or custard. It was just about hanging out with guys at the ballpark.
How interesting is that? And that's a memory that you will cherish. You know, if you would have seen Tony La Russa or Lou Brock, they would have been nice. They would have been pleasant. They wouldn't have been mean or nasty, but they wouldn't have engaged with you like Ted Drews did. And that's a memory, Kevin, you'll have all your life.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Anyway, I wanted to share that. And by the way, the custard's really good, too.
It is. It's very good. It's excellent. All right, thanks, Kevin. Thanks for calling in.
You bet.
And John's holding. John, you want to talk about Clint Eastwood, don't you?
Yeah, I like Ted Drews, and I love Clint. I like all the spaghetti westerns, and of course, all the Dirty Harrys. So,
well, what's your favorite Clint Eastwood movie?
I would say The Gauntlet,
mm-hmm.
and The Enforcer, and maybe Dirty Harry. All of them.
Those are all great movies. I've got a Clint Eastwood collection at home that my wife bought me one year for Christmas.
And on it's CD all, or,
yeah, oh, it's
or
on DVDs, and it's a whole collection of DVDs. And it's not every single Clint Eastwood movie because he's made so many, but I think I've got like 40 of them or 30 of them on these DVDs. And you're right. I love watching them, and they don't get old. They don't seem dated to me.
No. Here's the ending of Dirty Harry. I know what you're thinking. Did he shoot 5 or did he shoot 6? Well, really, in all this confusion and running around, I forgot myself. But being that this is a .44 Magnum and blow your head clean off, you got to be asking yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
That is fantastic. Thank you, John, for sharing that. You know, what I love about Clint is everybody can do it, but you do it with style.
Buddy, appreciate it.
You do it with style. And in fact, we're probably going to be hearing that clip in just a moment. So thanks for calling in. Thanks for sharing with us. And John, thanks for listening to Camo X.
I missed many words, but that was paraphrasing.
Well, you know what? Just show you how close it is. Hey, Matt, play clip number one.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
See, John, you nailed it.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks, sir.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in this evening. Thank you.
You bet, buddy.
So, Richard, you're a fan of Clint Eastwood movies, too.
Yes, Magnum Force.
Okay.
And how about, remember Bridges of Madison County, him and Meryl Streep?
I do. And that movie was rather,
kind of out of Clint Eastwood's domain, you know?
It was, but if you ever got to know Clint Eastwood, and he's very artistic, that the fact that he was portraying a photographer in that movie,
for a magazine, right?
And
yeah.
For a magazine, and it kind of fit in with him, I think, more personally than his genre movies like Dirty Harry and the spaghetti westerns. I think that Bridges movie really fit in more with who Clint Eastwood is as a person.
And it was kind of a neat movie. Good storyline, good acting. I mean, it was kind of really neat. I really liked it.
It was. And, of course, I always like to think that it was Madison County, Illinois, but it had nothing to do with Madison County, Illinois. But it was excellent.
I like Magnum Force, about the San Francisco motorcycle policemen that were killing hoodlums.
That's right. Excellent.
Yeah, that
excellent. Excellent movie.
Remember the quote from that movie? A man has to know his limitations.
Yeah, and I almost recorded that. I was trying to get a couple of clips today, Richard, and that was one that I was going to bring in. I didn't bring that one in, but you're right. That's a great, great line, and I've used that many, many times.
Yeah.
Because
Al Holbrook, remember? Al Holbrook was
a cop.
Commander that was after him and trying to get him jammed up, and you're like, a man has to know his limitations.
We could learn a lot from Clint, can't we?
Yep. Sure can.
I appreciate it. Hey, Richard, thanks for calling in this evening.
Okay, thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. Here's one of my my other favorite clips. That'll be clip number two.
Great to have.
Hang on one second.
That's okay.
We are experiencing technical difficulties here.
That's all right. Not a problem.
How you boys put those guns down?
Say what?
Whoa. We're not just going to let you walk out of here.
Who's we, sucker?
Smith and Wesson and me.
Now, I do have to tell you, I've used that line several times about we just can't let you walk out of here. But nobody, and I mean nobody, delivers lines like Clint.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I almost don't want to start talking because this music is so iconic. Welcome back to Camo X. Brad Young in with you this evening. At your service, as always. And I'm going to go to the phone lines here. Kevin wants to talk Ted Drews. Hey, Kevin, how are you this evening?
Yeah, I'm doing great. And this is a memory about Ted Drews himself and not the product. And I was,
okay.
It's been a few years ago, I was a Cardinal baseball game, and I was blessed to get one of the green seats, you know, the special mm-hmm. seats behind home plate.
Sure.
And I'm trying to impress a couple of buddies that are with me, and I'm saying, hey, look over here. There's Tony La Russa, the manager. Oh, look over here. Luke Brock is here, you know, visiting, you know, his home team. And all of a sudden, I said, oh, look down here. It's Ted Drews. The guys with me went nuts. Because they didn't care about Lou Brock or Tony La Russa. Ted Drews is there.
Ted Drews. So in that company, Ted Drews was the real celebrity.
He was. And so we went down and we got a picture with him and we took a little video and he said on the video, Cardinal baseball, it's really great, guys and gals.
That's fantastic, Kevin. And you know what? That sounds just like Ted. I mean, that's the way he comes across on his commercials. That's the way he's always been if you've ever seen him at Ted Drews. And that's the way he was with you at a Cardinals baseball game.
he was so accommodating, and it wasn't about Ted Drew's frozen yogurt or custard. It was just about hanging out with guys at the ballpark.
How interesting is that? And that's a memory that you will cherish. You know, if you would have seen Tony La Russa or Lou Brock, they would have been nice. They would have been pleasant. They wouldn't have been mean or nasty, but they wouldn't have engaged with you like Ted Drews did. And that's a memory, Kevin, you'll have all your life.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Anyway, I wanted to share that. And by the way, the custard's really good, too.
It is. It's very good. It's excellent. All right, thanks, Kevin. Thanks for calling in.
You bet.
And John's holding. John, you want to talk about Clint Eastwood, don't you?
Yeah, I like Ted Drews, and I love Clint. I like all the spaghetti westerns and, of course, all the Dirty Harrys. So,
well, what's your favorite Clint Eastwood movie?
I would say The Gauntlet,
mm-hmm,
and The Enforcer, and maybe Dirty Harry, all of them.
Those are all great movies. I've got a Clint Eastwood collection at home that my wife bought me one year for Christmas.
And on it's CD all, or?
Yeah, oh, it's
or
on, on DVDs, and it's a right. whole collection of DVDs, and it's not every single Clint Eastwood movie because he's made so many, but I think I've got like 40 of them or 30 of them on these DVDs. And you're right. I love watching them, and they don't get old. They don't seem dated to me.
No. Here's the ending of Dirty Harry. I know what you're thinking. Did he shoot 5 or did he shoot 6? Well, really, in all this confusion and running around, I forgot myself. But being that this is a .44 Magnum and blow your head clean off, you got to be asking yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
That is fantastic. Thank you, John, for sharing that. You know, what I love about Clint is everybody can do it, but you do it with style.
Buddy. Appreciate it.
You do it with style. In fact, we're probably going to be hearing that clip in just a moment. So thanks for calling in. Thanks for sharing with us. And John, thanks for listening to Camo X.
I missed many words, but that was paraphrasing.
Well, you know what? Just show you how close it is. Hey Matt, play clip number one.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
See, John, you nailed it.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks, sir.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in this evening. Thank you.
You bet, buddy.
So, Richard, you're a fan of Clint Eastwood movies, too.
Yes, Magnum Force.
Okay.
And how about, remember Bridges of Madison County, him and Meryl Streep?
I do. And that movie was rather,
kind of out of Clint Eastwood's domain, you know?
It was, but if you ever got to know Clint Eastwood, and he's very artistic, the fact that he was portraying a photographer in that movie for a magazine, and it kind of fit in with him, I think, more personally than his genre movies like Dirty Harry and the spaghetti westerns. I think that Bridges movie really fit in more with who Clint Eastwood is as a person.
And it was kind of a neat movie. Good storyline, good acting. I mean, it was kind of really neat. I really liked it.
It was. And, of course, I always like to think that it was Madison County, Illinois, but it had nothing to do with Madison County, Illinois. But it was excellent.
I like Magnum Force, about the San Francisco motorcycle policemen that were killing hoodlums.
That's right. Excellent. Yeah, that excellent. Excellent movie.
Remember the quote from that movie? A man has to know his limitations.
Yeah, and I almost recorded that. I was trying to get a couple of clips today, Richard, and that was one that I was going to bring in. I didn't bring that one in, but you're right. That's a great, great line, and I've used that many, many times.
Yeah.
Because he is so...
Al Holbrook, remember? Al Holbrook was
a cop.
Commander that was after him and trying to get him jammed up, and you're like, a man has to know his limitations.
we could learn a lot from Clint, can't we?
Yep. Sure can.
I appreciate it. Hey, Richard, thanks for calling in this evening.
Okay, thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. Here's one of my my other favorite clips. That'll be clip number two.
Great to have.
Hang on one second.
That's okay.
We are experiencing technical difficulties here.
That's all right. Not a problem.
Now you boys put those guns down.
Say what?
Well, we're not just going to let you walk out of here.
Who's we, sucker?
Smith and Wesson and me.
Now, I do have to tell you, I've used that line several times about we just can't let you walk out of here. But nobody, and I mean nobody, delivers lines like Clint Eastwood. Hey, Chris, you're up next here on Camo X. How you doing this evening?
Hi, Brad. It's been a year or two since I talked to you. I'm going to miss talking to you, man.
Well, listen, you call in anytime I'm on the air, Chris. Love talking to you.
I'll try to do that, yeah. Just a few quick things. I love Ted Drews. I wish he had a location here in Illinois, but I can understand that branching out too big and just keep the quality up, but that's the gold standard of custard, and I just I go there once in a blue moon, and my daughter's had it. It's very good, but a quick story about Ted Drews.
Sure.
It had to be about 35 years ago. I used to play Santa Claus at my brother-in-law's, one of my two older sisters, her mother-in-law, her late mother-in-law, late father-in-law lived in a house on South Grand. It was like almost directly across the street from the Grand location. And I played Santa Claus there, and I guess I did that for a few Christmases, and I remember the Christmas trees being on the parking lot, and I think Ted's or Travis still sells them, but it was great memories, and it just amazing how quick the time goes. But I think I stand to be corrected, but I believe that Travis married Ted's sister. Maybe I think he married into the family.
He did. Christy is Ted's daughter.
Yeah. Oh, Ted's daughter. Okay, daughter. Okay, okay. Correction there.
So it's still family owned, and they run it just the exact same way that Ted has run it for decades and decades, and it's truly one of a kind.
Well, I hope they're around for generations to come. But and just last word, Brad, of the few conservatives in Hollywood, I guess like Tom Selleck and Clint Eastwood, a happy birthday. He just they're just true guys, man. I love Tom Selleck and Blue Bloods and Magnum P.I., but Clint Eastwood, his body of work is just...
It's amazing, Chris. It really is.
It holds up so well. Yeah.
It does. Hey, we're coming up on a break here. I'm going to have to let you go, but thanks for calling in this evening, Chris. Great to talk to you, sir.
Take care. All right.
Hey, we're going to take a break here. Debbie's on the line. We've got some other folks holding. Clint Eastwood movies, Ted Drews. What's your favorite Ted Drews flavor, favorite Clint Eastwood movie? I've got some of mine. I'll talk about that next on Camo X, The Voice of St. Louis.
Move them on, hit them up, hit them up. Move them on, hit them up, raw high. Cut them out, ride them in, let them in, let them out. Cut them out, ride them in, raw high.
Wow, Matt, I had no idea you could sing the lyrics to Rawhide.
Thank you.
That's amazing. You're an excellent, excellent singer. But Rawhide is way before your time.
Yeah.
You've never seen Rawhide.
I have not, no.
Now, I did as a kid when I was sick and I was home during the day and I'm watching stuff on Channel 11 when I'm sick at home because there wasn't, streaming. And I would watch Rawhide. It was kind of slow, black and white. Yeah. And Clint Eastwood looked like he was about 14. But yeah, he was on the show. He was on the show. Hey, let's get back to the phones. Debbie wants to talk about your favorite Clint Eastwood movie.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, Debbie. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you. It is so hard to say that he had ever a bad one. I loved them all. But three that I...
Oh, now, come on. Before I'm sorry to interrupt, but those movies he did with Sandra Locke, where it was Bronco Billy, you know, those were awful.
Yeah, those were kind of boring, yeah. Yeah, but I never watched really. I thought Sandra Locke was kind of a joke. So.
Oh, and he only made movies with her because they were married. And, I think she made him do these movies because they were trash. But as soon as he separated from Sandra Locke, his movies got a whole lot better. But your favorite.
Well, I have three. And the first started with his directorial debut, Play Misty for Me.
Oh, I love that movie.
I was in college, and it scared the pants off of me.
Yeah, well, and you know what's interesting about that movie is that people who later saw Fatal Attraction, which was in the 80s, it was basically a complete ripoff of Play Misty for Me.
Yes, I would agree. But the other two that I love, my husband and I both absolutely love, is Kelly's Heroes and Where Eagles Dare.
But Kelly's Heroes is such a great movie because of the ensemble cast. I mean, when you've got Donald Sutherland in a movie with Don Rickles and Clint Eastwood, I mean,
And
Telly Savalas. Oh, what a great movie because, you know, Telly Savalas and Clint Eastwood can both, you know, chew the scenery because they're just such magnificent actors. And then you've got the comic relief from, like I said, Donald Sutherland and Don Rickles.
What a great
movie. You know, I've probably watched that movie 20 times and it never gets old.
No, it doesn't. And Where Eagles Dare is just, it keeps you on your edge the whole time. You're like, don't know until the end who's really guilty, you know, who's the bad guy.
You're exactly right. There's a great twist. I'm not going to give away the ending in case somebody hasn't seen it. It's a fantastic twist. But what I recall, Debbie, about Where Eagles Dare is that Richard Burton was kind of already on the way out in Hollywood, and that movie kind of brought him back and jump-started his career for a while because he was basically riding on Clint Eastwood's coattails for that entire movie.
I would agree. And I don't remember who the women were, but boy, they were great actresses. Because they tough as nails, German looking ladies. Most definitely.
And come on, let's be real. There's no better plot than trying to break into a Nazi headquarters. There's no better plot than that. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah. It was just a wonderful movie. So if nobody's seen it, they really do need to see it.
Absolutely. The movie is called Where Eagles Dare. I think it came out in 1968 or maybe 1967, somewhere in there. But it is a fantastic war movie. It's a psychological thriller, and it's got a great twist at the end. So I agree with you, Debbie. To me, Where Eagles Dare is right towards the top of my list.
Great. Hey, it was so nice talking to you.
It's lovely talking to you, Debbie. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Rogerine has been holding for a while. I'm sorry you had to hold for a while, but welcome to Camo X.
Oh, that's not a problem. I'm calling to talk about Ted Drews.
Ted Drews.
I worked for the Postal Service, and I've been retired 20 years.
Sure. And well, thank you for your service.
And when I retired, they had a party for me. And it was a big surprise. A guy bought a great big gallon bucket of Ted Drews ice cream and a cake. And I would never forget that as long as...
You know what's interesting is that so many people have retirement parties and they've forgotten about them, you know, the next day. But here you are 20 years later and you still remember it because of the Ted Drews.
Because of the Ted Drews.
Oh. What a great memory. Hey, thanks for calling in and sharing that. I really appreciate it.
I enjoy it.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. I got a couple of minutes here, and I want to make sure we get to Floyd, because, Floyd, you sound like a guy that knows your Clint Eastwood movies.
Thanks, Brian. Hey, two movies that nobody has mentioned, and I think they're the best. One of them is Firefox.
Sure, where he steals the top secret Russian aircraft. It's supposed to be like a hypersonic aircraft, and he steals it.
That's my number one. The number two is I'm sure the title of it was The Gauntlet. Remember when he drove the gauntlet in to go to the police department?
Yep, and exactly. And that was that wasn't a Dirty Harry movie though, was it?
No. No, it was something else, but it was a great movie.
It was, but I think it was a Dirty Harry like character. He was essentially playing Dirty Harry, but it wasn't a Dirty Harry movie.
No, he wasn't a cop or anything. No. But those are two great movies. Firefox is my number one favorite. Mm,
great movie. And by the way, have you ever seen Escape from Alcatraz?
No.
Well, what's fascinating about Escape from Alcatraz, Floyd, is that the movie was as accurate as possible about mm-hmm. the only people who ever successfully escaped from Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
And the writer of the movie went into detail about how they think these guys plotted a way to get out. Mm-hmm. And it was him and two other people, and they made a boat out of raincoats, and they made paper mache heads to disguise the fact that they were out of their bunks. Oh, it's a magnificent escape movie, and if you haven't seen it, you should check it out.
I'll check it out, and thank you.
Thanks. Hey, thanks for calling in, Floyd.
You bet. Bye.
There's something in Hollywood, I think it's called the Don Siegel Rule. And the Don Siegel rule is basically this. What happened is that Don Siegel, a very famous movie director in Hollywood, he was directing a Clint Eastwood movie. Right off the top of my head, I don't recall which one. It was one of the Westerns. And during the filming, Don Siegel became ill and couldn't continue. So Clint Eastwood just stepped in and started directing. And at the end of the movie, he didn't get directing credits, even though Clint probably directed 70% of the movie. I know it was more than 50% of the movie, but he directed a large portion of the movie, didn't get a credit. But from that point on, the rules in Hollywood required that if someone directs more than a certain percentage of the movie, they have to be given directorial credit. Now, that's important because in Hollywood, if you're the director, you get a percentage of the box office take. So if you direct Guardians of the Galaxy and it grosses $1 billion, you're probably going to make $100 million on that movie just because you're the director of that movie. So I always thought it was interesting that Clint was able to step in, even though he's acting, he's the lead actor in this movie, but he's able to step in, be the director, and be the star. I mean, my goodness, Clint, is there anything Clint Eastwood can't do? He was a mayor of Carmel, just an amazing guy. And today's his 93rd birthday. Happy birthday to Clint Eastwood. Hey, we're going to take a break here. Coming up after the break, the debt deal, the House voted. We're going to talk about that and where it goes from here next on Camo X.
Move him on, hit him up, move him on, hit him up, raw high. Cut him out, ride him in, let him in, let him out, cut him out, ride him in.
Wow, Matt, I had no idea you could sing the lyrics to Rawhide.
Thank you.
That's amazing. You're an excellent, excellent singer. But Rawhide is way before your time.
Yeah.
You've never seen Rawhide.
I have not, no.
Now, I did as a kid when I was sick and I was home during the day and I'm watching stuff on Channel 11 when I'm sick at home because there wasn't, streaming. And I would watch Rawhide. It was kind of slow, black and white.
Yeah.
And Clint Eastwood looked like he was about 14. But yeah, he was on the show. He was on the show. Hey, let's get back to the phones. Debbie wants to talk about your favorite Clint Eastwood movie.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, Debbie. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you. It is so hard to say that he had ever a bad one. I loved them all. But three
now come on. Before I'm sorry to interrupt, but those movies he did with Sandra Locke, where it was Bronco Billy, those were awful.
Yeah, those were kind of boring, yeah. Yeah, but I never watched really I thought Sandra Locke was kind of a joke. So,
And he only made movies with her because they were married. And, yeah. And I think she made him do these movies because they were trash. But as soon as he separated from Sandra Locke, his movies got a whole lot better. But your favorite.
Well, I have three. And the first started with his directorial debut, Play Misty for Me.
Oh, I love that movie.
I was in college, and it scared the pants off of me.
Yeah, well, and you know what's interesting about that movie is that people who later saw Fatal Attraction, which was in the 80s,
yes.
It was basically a complete ripoff of Play Misty for Me.
Yes, I would agree. But the other two that I love, my husband and I both absolutely love, is Kelly's Heroes and Where Eagles Dare.
But Kelly's Heroes is such a great movie because of the ensemble cast. I mean, when you've got Donald Sutherland in a movie with Don Rickles and Clint Eastwood, I mean,
And
Telly Savalas. Oh, what a great movie because, you know, Telly Savalas and Clint Eastwood can both, you know, chew the scenery because they're just such magnificent actors. And then you've got the comic relief from, like I said, Donald Sutherland and Don Rickles.
What a great movie.
You know, I've probably watched that movie 20 times and it never gets old.
No, it doesn't. And Where Eagles Dare is just, it keeps you on your edge the whole time. You're like, don't know until the end who's really guilty, you know, who's the bad guy.
You're exactly right. There's a great twist. I'm not going to give away the ending in case somebody hasn't seen it. It's a fantastic twist. But what I recall, Debbie, about Where Eagles Dare is that Richard Burton was kind of already on the way out in Hollywood, and that movie kind of brought him back and jump-started his career for a while because he was basically riding on Clint Eastwood's coattails for that entire movie.
I would agree. And I don't remember who the women were, but boy, they were great actresses. Because they tough as nails, German-looking ladies, most definitely.
And come on, let's be real. There's no better plot than trying to break into a Nazi headquarters. There's no better plot than that. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was just a wonderful movie. So if nobody's seen it, they really do need to see it.
Absolutely. The movie is called Where Eagles Dare. I think it came out in 1968 or maybe 1967, somewhere in there. But it is a fantastic war movie. It's a psychological thriller, and it's got a great twist at the end. So I agree with you, Debbie. To me, Where Eagles Dare is right towards the top of my list.
Great. Hey, it was so nice talking to you.
It's lovely talking to you, Debbie. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Rogerine has been holding for a while. I'm sorry you had to hold for a while, but welcome to Camo X.
Oh, that's not a problem. I'm calling to talk about Ted Drews.
Ted Drews.
I worked for the Postal Service, and I've been retired 20 years.
Sure. Well, thank you for your service.
And when I retired, they had a party for me. And it was a big surprise. A guy bought a great big gallon bucket of Ted Drews ice cream and a cake. And I would never forget that as long as...
You know what's interesting is that so many people have retirement parties and they've forgotten about them, you know, the next day. But here you are 20 years later and you still remember it because of the Ted Drews.
Because of the Ted Drews.
What a great memory. Hey, thanks for calling in and sharing that. I really appreciate it.
I enjoy it.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. I got a couple of minutes here, and I want to make sure we get to Floyd, because, Floyd, you sound like a guy that knows your Clint Eastwood movies.
Thanks, Brian. Hey, two movies that nobody has mentioned, and I think they're the best. One of them is Firefox.
Sure, where he steals the top secret Russian aircraft. It's supposed to be like a hypersonic aircraft, and he steals it.
That's my number one. And number two is I'm sure the title of it was The Gauntlet. Remember when he drove the gauntlet in to go to the police department?
Yep, exactly. And that wasn't a Dirty Harry movie though, was it?
No. No, it was something else, but it was a great movie.
It was, but it was a. I think it was a Dirty Harry like character. He was essentially playing Dirty Harry, but it wasn't a Dirty Harry movie.
No, no, he wasn't a cop or anything. No, no. But those are two great movies. Firefox is my number one favorite. Mm,
great movie. And by the way, have you ever seen Escape from Alcatraz?
No.
Well, what's fascinating about Escape from Alcatraz, Floyd, is that the movie was as accurate as possible about mm-hmm. the only people who ever successfully escaped from Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
And the writer of the movie went into detail about how they think these guys plotted a way to get out. Mm-hmm. And it was him and two other people, and they made a boat out of raincoats, and they made papier-mâché heads to disguise the fact that they were out of their bunks. Oh, it's a magnificent escape movie, and if you haven't seen it, you should check it out.
I'll check it out, and thank you.
Thanks. Hey, thanks for calling in, Floyd.
You bet. Bye.
There's something in Hollywood. I think it's called the Don Siegel Rule. And the Don Siegel rule is basically this. What happened is that Don Siegel, a very famous movie director in Hollywood, he was directing a Clint Eastwood movie. Right off the top of my head, I don't recall which one. It was one of the Westerns. And during the filming, Don Siegel became ill and couldn't continue. So Clint Eastwood just stepped in and started directing. And at the end of the movie, he didn't get directing credits, even though Clint probably directed 70% of the movie. I know it was more than 50% of the movie, but he directed a large portion of the movie, didn't get a credit. But from that point on, the rules in Hollywood required that if someone directs more than a certain percentage of the movie, they have to be given directorial credit. Now, that's important because in Hollywood, if you're the director, you get a percentage of the box office take. So if you direct Guardians of the Galaxy and it grosses $1 billion, you're probably going to make $100 million on that movie just because you're the director of that movie. So I always thought it was interesting that Clint was able to step in, even though he's acting, he's the lead actor in this movie, but he's able to step in, be the director, and be the star. I mean, my goodness, Clint, is there anything Clint Eastwood can't do? He was a mayor of Carmel, just an amazing guy. And today's his 93rd birthday. Happy birthday to Clint Eastwood. Hey, we're going to take a break here. Coming up after the break, the debt deal, the House voted. We're going to talk about that and where it goes from here next on Camo X.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.